Speaking about Usavis, who is very prone and very likely to get Usavis? I'll explain the example of the owl hanging upside down. I'll explain the horse looks at its own shadow and it gets scared. But who is very, very prone and very quickly shaitan attacks such a person with wasawis? As he explains, if an individual has a weakness, he has a nervous temperament, then a fire, a blaze, not a major one perhaps, but a minor one, arises within him. Person is weak. He hasn't got what they call a strong constitution. He gets quickly nervous. Someone scolds him. He wants to cry. And immediately he goes into this mode. They don't like me. Everyone is against me. That person, even if there's a minor fire, he gets worried. His mind gets affected. It is now very difficult for that person to suppress that which troubles him. Very few are the ones who just let it go. I'm not worried about it. I'm not going to be bothered. I'm not going to be troubled. I'm not going to be agitated. And it is now necessary to oppose it with a great deal of firmness. For a person who's now weak, he wants to make himself strong, his akhlaq strong, his ibadat strong, wants to have istiqamat. You don't want to be blown over by any friend. Wrong friend comes, puts 2-3 wrong words. You don't want to be affected by that friend. You want to overcome his weakness in anything with it, especially when it is guna. He knows he's involved in a guna. Now, how does he overcome it? As Rahmatullah mentions, you need to deal with whatever is troubling you, whatever sin there is, with great firmness. You have to stand up in your heart like a man and say, I'm going to oppose it. You should on no account act in accordance with his desire. He's got a habit to be late for salah. You shouldn't just give in, okay. You should start fighting that I must go on time for my salah. I must fight my nafs. I must try. I must make dua. Allah help me. Let me be on time for salah. If he's involved with something wrong, haram, bad friend, he must fight it. He doesn't have to be scared of that person. He doesn't have to be scared who's going to interfere or bully him or whatever it may be. He's just got to make a lot of dua and stay away from such company, because that company can destroy him. And the shaitan always makes one feel no one will know. No one will find out. So why do we give in? Why do we give in? When we know something is wrong, we have to now fight it. I am not going to. How do we fight it? We think of our parents. We think of our akhirah. We think of the harm. We think of the disgrace that's going to befall one. And as I mentioned many a times, there is no greater calamity, one can almost say, than the cell phones. Homes are being broken. Relationships are being destroyed. The other day a parent person came, said his daughter wanted a cell phone. He said, no, there's no cell phone for you. Grandfather got a bit over-loving and quietly bought a cell phone. You see, in 1 week, the father said, after 1 week I got hold of that cell phone, I found 275 messages. What must be happening to that mind? 275 messages. What must be happening to that girl's mind or even a boy? They want to keep in contact with everyone. Everyone wants you to be on their profile or whatever it may be, and you must become the murid on the cell phone and follow us. What a miserable life. What a miserable, miserable life. Whole day chasing behind people. And half the things is deception. More than half the things is deception. It's make-believe. It's stale news. There's nothing of benefit, true benefit in the akhirah. There's nothing of true, real. Even if they give a hadith, it's fine, but it's not going to have that hadith where you find it yourself and you search for it and you learn it. Yeah. There is that 5%, 10% maximum that you can say, okay, there's some goodness in. And it, then also it must be in a very controlled way. But the majority, over a majority, are misled. So to fight it, he should on no account act in accordance with it. He should suppress it, his desire, no matter how much force is required. No matter how much force is required. Many people say, I can't overcome this guna. I don't know what to do. You haven't used sufficient force. Sufficient force, did a lot of nafil namaz. Plenty of. Roza is easy. At the end of the day, you know, I'm going to eat. You tell your nafs, I'm going to read 10 rakats. I'm going to go to 14. I'm going to go to 20. You can go to 100. You can go to 200 on a Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, when we are free. I'll read up to Allah Ta'ala's help will come. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُ فِينَا لَنَهَدِيَنُّمْ سُبُولَنَا. The one who makes an effort in our path, Allah Pak says, I will most certainly help that person. Never act according to your wish and desire. Absolutely not. As he's emphasizing, he knows what he's speaking about. Absolutely don't. You should tackle the task of opposing it. Then, inshallah, his weakness will be reversed. If he firmly goes against it, inshallah, a time will come, he will become now stronger, he will overcome shaitan, he will overcome his nafs. This is a method for its rectification. Yes, initially it will be burdensome. Initially it's going to be a bit hard to deprive yourself of some luxury or to perform those extra rakat namazes. Well, initially it will be a bit hard. But this is its cure. This is the teaching for him. Now in this age, these conditions appear rapidly to affect one. These conditions of being nervous, of giving in quickly, quickly getting affected, quickly getting depressed, quickly being in haste, rushing to get out of a problem, but merely making it worse, thinking if I jump from here to there, it will get better, but they don't want to face up to the problem. As you see, it's much more on the increase. Yes, that individual who has a strong personality and his limbs and intestines are sturdy, he will not be affected by such influences because he has an inner strength. A person who's strong, physically even strong, and spiritually strong also, he won't get easily affected. What more greater can there be in a disaster than mort? It's the ultimate swabat kum musibat al-maut. But we'll find people like Mirza Jan Jana Rahmatullah al-Ayy. When the Shias send a message, tomorrow we're coming to kill you, whole night they were laughing and singing and reading Quran Sharif and making dhikrullah. Morning they would wear, mashallah, ta'ati, ghusl, new clothing, mashallah, best clothing, eat clothing, put itar, surma. And the news would come, you know what, they are going to kill you. It was the time when the Shias were in control of India. They're coming to kill you. They used to sing out of happiness, oh Allah, today we're going to meet you. Oh Allah, oh my Allah, today is the great meeting day. How many years have I not waited to meet you? Oh Allah, today is the happiest day in my life. And they would give Mubarak body, and they would give out some sinni, what you call. Today is a very great day, I'm going to meet my Allah. And what is our condition? We fall apart. If someone had to say, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Can you just call back after half an hour? Gone, shukar. Where is he gone? This was the North Dakota guy. Okay, we'll see him. So what we are saying, if the temperament, if the understanding of life, that is good, difficulties, it will be there. But it won't affect one to the extent that one goes into deep depression. Life will carry on. See, Maulana Praul Haq Rahmatullah, only one son from Hardwai, only one son. He was becoming an alim. He was very intelligent, very brilliant. In his father's madrasa, mashallah, utad. And someone made seher on him. Jadu what to call. He was, I think, 20, 21 years old. He passed away. Mawlana carried on as if nothing happened. A day or 2 days after, someone asked, Hazrat, you not showing any emotion. And there, what he did, he just took a gulp and he spit out, it was blood in his spit. But he carried on, it's Allah's will. Allah's will, we carry on. But inside him, he knew, at the end of the day, being human being. But everyone has a different temperament. We just thought about Mirza Jan Chana. He was inside, outside the same. Some people will feel, and we saw some cried when his son passed away. So everyone has a different tabiat. But the bottom line is, do they leave the mamulats? Do they go and sleep? Do they go into I'm the worst off in the world type of this thing. Mode. They don't do this here. They carry on. However, for the individual who has a weak constitution, weak limbs and intestines, you will be quickly affected. Their affliction is very powerful. The shaitan is very strong. The nafs is very strong. To repel the affliction requires a great deal of effort. Now the shaitan is attacking. Do the guna, make the guna, do the wrong, make the wrong. Come on, man. How long are you going to carry on? It's very severe. It needs a great deal of effort to fight it. But the strain has to be borne with steadfastness. No, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give in. We know of people, they had sicknesses of the eyes. Their eyes roaming around, seeing haram. And when it was prescribed, listen here, your eyes go wrong, you know intentionally you are doing wrong, haram, clear cut haram, promise your nafs, 5 rozas you're going to keep. 5 rozas, one after the other. Shukr alhamdulillah, the person got cured. And everybody wants to do guna with his eyes, he just thinks, you're 5 rozas, he can't even manage 2, Ramzan Sharif, he just barely manages Ramzan Sharif, when the moon is going to be out or not, he's the first day on the, wherever they stand on a high place, is looking for the moon. 5 rozas, I'm going to die, I won't make it. And alhamdulillah, he took an oath on Allah's name, that he will keep if he deliberately goes in this particular direction of doing wrong. He tamed the nafs. So it's on the individual. No sheikh in the world can force you to change. Impossible. That can never happen. The effort must be made by ourselves. Once this has been done, fighting the nafs a few times, the individual's temperament will become stabilized, inshallah ta'ala, and the strain will cease. Once he do it a couple of times, then the nafs will understand that I mustn't invite this person towards wrong. The shaitan will keep away. And there is one incident which, as he mentioned to us, a particular person involved in zikr, in shaghal, mashallah ta'ala. He was an elderly person, pious person. One day the thought came to him very forcefully. Go eat mitai. He thought to himself, mitai. He looked at his nerves, mitai, you want mitai? Where are we going to get money from? So the nerves said, just borrow from someone, man, you'll pay them. I kona what? Now he's speaking to his nerves. What? How do you know you're going to live long enough to work in paying back? No, but you must get some mitai, man. Long time, man. Give yourself a treat. Give yourself a treat. So he said, okay, all right. But you have to earn your own money. So, yeah, man, go find a little job for the day. He said, okay. He went, he saw a person who had a cow. Around the neck of the cow was a pole, and there was a bucket in a well. So the cow walks, and the pole pulls up the rope, the bucket of water, when he does one round, then whoever was there, they just empty the water. So he went, he saw, hey, this one fellow, he's got a cow, the poor cow is sickly and thin and suffering. He told the person, listen, leave out that cow. He's going to die away by you doing this. Give it a day or two a chance. I will do this hard job. He said, okay, all right. What are you going to pay me? Certain amount was fixed. So he puts the pole around his own neck now, the rope and whatever it may be. And he's doing the walking around. The other one just empties the water into a bigger container. And he's sweating, he's walking, and he's telling his nerves, Mitai, you want Mitai? This is how Mitai tastes. He's thirsty, he's hungry, don't worry. This is how Mitai tastes. Came the end of the day, they paid him that 1-2 rupees. He told the nurse, you still want Mitai? The nurse said, no, Jazakallah. No more Mitai. Mitai to eat, Mitai, you make me suffer like this here, and then you want to give me Mitai. I don't worry, I don't want to ever see Mitai. End of the story. This is what it is meant to pressurize oneself and strain oneself. As he again repeats, because this is common things. This you're not going to find in the kitabs. You're not going to find this, even the details of this in the Quran Sharif has been explained here. These are the hukama, the hakims, the spiritual doctors of the ummah, and this is whom we have to follow. If we understand deen, it is a great treasure from Allah. Now we know we got our shortcomings. You can write to a buzuk, you know, I don't know how to overcome it. Buzuk will tell you, do this here. The sheikh is supposed to tell you, do this here. Alone with dhikrullah, the sicknesses don't get cured. Spiritual sicknesses get cured with medication, bitter spiritual medication. Like bitter the medicine is, the person gets his cure. So as he says, at that time a severe anxiety develops in him. Now to suppress this anxiety is a tremendous strain on one who is weak mentally and weak constitutionally. However, act against it forcefully. You don't want to read nafal namaz. You don't want to wake up for tahajjud. Forcefully, I must force myself, man. No, man, no. This is shaitan. He's starting here. The shaitan is going to take me for a ride. No, I let me go of my faraz namaz. I'll make qaza. But then what's going to happen next? The nafs in shaitan are going to sit on me. They're going to say, two namaz is going to go. You think of the words of Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi said, when Allah Ta'ala takes away the tawfiq from someone, the first thing, he makes him leave his faraz namaz in the masjid. Once the faraz namaz is gone in the masjid, then you will read at home, then you will read later, then you're going to get delayed. You are going to go downhill, one way downhill. It is necessary to avoid any situation causing worry and anxiety. One word, one line. It is necessary, we all listen, mashallah, very attentively, to get into any situation wherein you can cause a problem for yourself. You want to help a lot of people. There's a lot of family. Everyone has got tekleef, big musibat. And many a times we mean very well. But don't ever do it, and may Allah save me and all of us, that it's done in such a manner that we sit with a bigger problem. We sit with a bigger problem. We wanted to help. You went, there was a fight. No, don't worry, I stand with my friend. Bust him up, kick him, this, that. Police come. The fellow is in a hospital. Right, who was there? This year. Comes time, you find, he said, no, you kicked him the most. I never kicked him. I just hit him one time. You were the one that kicked him on his head. He was sitting and thought, oh, you know what? I was going to be the big guy and help him around and we're going to sort him out. Here I am sitting with the major bulk of the problem. We need to learn and listen. Don't ever just jump. Someone said a very wise thing to me the other day. He said, you know what? If Allah forbid, there's trouble, Never be just the one to pitch up there. Because if you are going to be the first there just to pitch up, if there's someone that has been killed, the first the police is going to call you. You were there, what happened? It may be a friend, a cousin, or somebody, and you may want to cover up for him being. And what if they do further investigations and they find that, no, you lied. Already you lied one time, it's finished. You are gone. You understand? So we need to be very careful. Yes, help. Yes, do go and assist people. Yes, partake of the grief. But be very careful that it mustn't be in such a way that our sleep is disturbed. We are frustrated. We are getting angry. And at the end of the day, our family life suffers. Our own personal studies suffer. Our own learning, teaching suffers. Then we must know. Once, twice, you go in the balance, you make dua. Many a times, we don't know what. There's nothing more with it we can do. We make dua. But the shaitan could come in order to divert our attention and get us involved, and Allah save us, in things that are detrimental to our own peace of mind. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah used to say, do not go and look after someone's bag. In the meantime, your bag, someone walks away with it. You're at the airport, someone comes, just look after my bag. Okay, all right, I'm just coming, I'm just going to the bathroom. You look after it, someone is gone with your trolley, passport, everything is gone. That was what Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah mentioned. It is necessary to avoid any situation causing worry and anxiety. Whenever a situation presents causing worry and anxiety, one should quickly move away from it. Very quickly, this is a problem, let me get rid of it. Let me distance myself. I make dua. This is very valuable. This word says, I make dua for you. You shouldn't be ashamed to use it, because they do ask for dua. Many a times people will come to us and say, Deko, I can't do anything more. Khair, I make dua. It would be issues concerning health. It would be issues concerning courts. It would be issues concerning finances. But they would say, Deko, make ya karu bas khair, me dua karu. I make dua with my heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is the greatest thing. But to fall into the problem of someone else in such a way that we're sitting with a bigger problem, that is not a sign of intelligence. Inshallah, we will continue.